Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is South Jersey agent Matt Curcio. Welcome to the podcast, Matt. How are you, man. Brother?
I am awesome. Thanks for having me on this. This is great.
Yeah, man. We got to get together on the Real Conference for National Conference for Real Broker. So I'm excited to get your story. So let's start off by kind of telling everybody how you got into the real estate business, how long you've been in the business, and where you are now in your journey.
Awesome. I actually got my real estate license and went to school because I wanted to be an investor. I kind of grew up handy,
nice,
working on things. I was landscaping at the time, bartending, and wanted a way out of the week-by-week paycheck. And somebody told me I needed to invest in real estate. So took the course, ran into a friend who was about 2 years older than me. So I was about 23. He was 25. And he grew up in the business. So he actually invited me to join him at his company. And within 18 months, I was a top-selling agent at the RE/MAX. So,
awesome, man.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, I guess, that journey, right? You were the top-selling agent at RE/MAX. Like, what did that look like for you back then? Like, how many deals was the top agent doing?
Yeah.
What were you doing to grow your business back in those early days?
So I started, because I wanted to invest, I actually started working with a lot of investors. And back then, HUD homes was a big thing. You would get a list of HUD homes, and then we would go shop that list with investors that we found, right? So what was cool about it was they paid a percentage up to 5% in commission. So it was a higher paying paycheck, and you could go shop the list with multiple investors.
Nice.
Then I got into actually short sale, helping investors buy homes via short sale, which was not common back then. So we helped the homeowners avoid foreclosure and introduce deals to investors before the 2007 crash, where everybody had to learn what a short sale was. So
gotcha.
We had a little niche there. But yeah, within about 18 months, I was selling probably about 35, 40 homes in my second year. And then every year thereafter was over 50. Then I built a team in 2010 after I had my kids, and then I needed leverage. So I decided to build a team. I built it with a roadmap from coaches that were still selling. So I like coaches that are in the business, in
right.
my opinion, instead of the ones that have never sold a home and try to tell you how to have the conversation. But,
right.
You know, there's a place for both, but I chose to follow people who were doing the deals, and then built my team to be one of New Jersey's. You know, we were ranked top 5 for RE/MAX multiple years.
Nice.
Top 25 in the Wall Street Journal, I think, or the 1,000 or whatever it was. So
nice.
Some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then you moved everything over to EXP at some point, right? You had said.
Yeah. So we were with our coaching company, we were being coached to basically go independent once the broker cost got too high, you know? So when you're paying all these big box brokerages, you know, when the paycheck hits six figures to the broker, you kind of reevaluate things. You
right.
know what I mean? So we were all looking year after year. We were in a mastermind with some of the best in the country. And every quarter we would sit down and kind of break each other's businesses apart and, you know, put them back together, help each other get to where they wanted to go. Whether it was, you know, my sweet spot was about 125 deals. And, you know, at RE/MAX we were paying fees. So
right.
we couldn't stack, you know, 20 agents because it was just unaffordable. But I always say I focus on net profit too.
Right.
So we had a lower average sales price, so you had to churn a lot of deals and help agents grow, but while keeping it all cost effective.
Right.
And then some of the biggest agents in the country at that time were selling, you know, 300 to 500 homes. It was rare if you had somebody doing like 750. But with today's world, you can get to 1,000 homes a year. There's some big groups doing those numbers. But, you know, overall, I guess I set that up because of leverage. Right. And I tell people today that ask me, should I build a team? You know, I want to build a team. I tell them, put it on the drawing board. Why do you want to do it? You know, what's it do for you? What's it do for your family? Because you're adding, you know, most people are more profitable when they're a solo agent.
So right.
Doing, you know, 10, 15 million, whatever.
Gotcha. But you felt like the team thing was something that you were interested, obviously, after having kids and a family and everything, and the team thing was going to be your jam.
Yeah, I needed leverage, you know. At the end of the day, I had kids that were going into sports. I actually built my team because I broke my collarbone playing sports, and the next day I got an assignment, an REO assignment, where I had to do a key change or a lock change. And I was changing the lock with one arm in a sling. And I was like, man, if I broke my leg last night, like, my kids wouldn't be eating in 3 months.
Right.
So it was a reality check. And everybody at the time was telling me to build a team. You got to build a team. That's the next step.
Right.
And then, you know, but put a lot of hard work into it, built one of New Jersey's best teams. And it provided me the leverage to be able to coach my kids. You know, I'm operating the team. We're doing 10 plus deals a month. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was on the baseball diamond or the softball diamond 4 or 5 nights a week, coaching, you know, 3 teams. And I did that for their whole Little League experience, you know? So
that's awesome.
Which most realtors can't take off April, May, June.
Right.
You know,
hey, we've got a very similar story, man. 'Cause I started in the business the very same way, just thinking, and I wanted to invest in real estate. I wanted to buy rental properties. I wanted to buy flips. And I did that for a long time, and I've still owned some rental properties and still do some flips occasionally. But that was the main reason I got into the business, because I was like, look, man, I want to be a part of it, and you might as well earn a commission while you're a part of it, and whatever it was, I'll just figure it out. And plus, I do a lot of bank-owned properties as well, representing a few local banks with foreclosures and everything else. So it's funny that we have the same, a similar story. And I mean, I was the same way as you, you know, except for I was on the soccer field, you know, coaching my older 2 kids, and having the time as a successful agent to do that was great, you know. And real estate affords ourselves the time that we need to be able to do the things and support our family. So, but definitely the team thing, I can see that as being a huge value, because you have support, you have help.
Yeah. And you know, look, I tell everybody, like, net profit will probably go down from your individual to team sales. And you're going to hand away some of your business, you know, 'cause you want to see people succeed. So you're going to give deals to people that, and earn 50% of a paycheck that you could have closed.
Right.
So again, you're trading that time, you know, for money.
Right.
And when your business is to a point where you can do that, it's not a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, so. Absolutely. So you found some success in the team mindset more when you so you made a move from RE/MAX, and you went to where from
so
there?
So I built a team at RE/MAX, right? Okay. And then year after year, we were trying to build bigger. How do we get better? How do we net more? What, you know, and there's only a few ways to build your business beyond what that was, you know, 100 deals a year. So once, like I said earlier, once you start paying your broker 6 figures a year, you start reevaluating things. And how much is the brokerage doing for me? And this is back, you know, in 2001 when I started.
That was a lot of money in 2001.
Well,
still, you know,
that was 2012-ish when I started paying close to 6 figures a year, and then exceeded 6 figures a year. So probably 12, 13, 14. But in 2001, social media didn't exist, right? So people called brokerages based on the TV commercials, the signs in the yard. They knew the balloon. They knew the yellow sign, the gold sign. And that mattered. But when social media took over, like, to me, there wasn't enough value coming from the brand. And that's what we were all, the top team leaders. We were all like, what do we do? What's the next step? How do you net more profit? You open your own.
Right. Yeah. And you had said also, too, one thing I want to touch on while you're right here is that people don't look up to their broker anymore.
Yeah.
In our current state of the real estate market. And I guess, was that because content has just kind of gotten to be so easily achievable or easily reachable on YouTube, or, you know, people are looking to coaches or other team leaders for their growth in the business, or they listen to podcasts like this for their agent growth? Do you think that's the reason why, I guess, maybe the kind of the move away from the broker?
Yeah, the brokers have become operators, in my opinion. You know, they can build as much into online communities or training and virtual training, but everything's at everybody's fingertips now. So I believe that's why these new style brokerages, like a real broker, understands that they're just here to operate the business and help us succeed. And I tell everybody, if you're a learner, if you're going to go seek the information, validate the information, and go to work, this model is for you.
Right.
You know, and it's just rare. There are still mom and pops and some good companies that have their culture built into training and all that stuff, but you're going to pay for it. And if you can do it yourself, a lot of people in today's world are DIY, right? They love saving money and doing it themselves. So
yeah, absolutely.
That goes with learning how to sell.
Yeah. And even the compression in the market, you're talking about maybe doing a few less deals in a year like this, where it's kind of a weird year with the NAR settlement and all these other things, and doing a few less deals is tough when you're at this small local mom and pop brokerage, because they're still going to take their higher percentage. You're still not going to maybe have a cap or anything like that where we have it at Real, which is very low. But that makes it tough for these agents who are right on the cusp of maybe making it, you know, the 10 to 30 deals a year, the average agent or whatever.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough to make that math work. Mm-hmm. So you've been able.
So we were looking like, how do we net more profit? And then the EXP model was shown to us. And then a lot of my mastermind at the time looked at it, heavily looked at it. And then a couple guys jumped in, and then we all decided to kind of partner up and open, you know, being the big teams that we were, open all the states with the first branch offices. So I opened the first branch office of EXP, was their first Icon Award winner and two-time Icon Award winner. And then I actually found the opportunity of Real a couple years later, saw it again. And, you know, when people ask me to compare the two, I was at RE/MAX when Keller Williams got good.
Right.
And I watched Keller Williams kind of grow and exceed what RE/MAX was doing. And to me, if we're going to compare two companies, I see EXP and Real with the new model being, you know, the two that people are going to flock to, and, you know, we'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah. And shoot, I mean, this conference has been amazing. I mean, we just sat in the room right there, 2,000 agents fired up, you know, huge tech upgrades, huge AI, you know, integrated stuff, man, just, and, you know, everything all together in one system, being able to track your numbers in real time, being able to track your revenue in real time. So I know revenue was a big reason for you kind of being able to, you had talked to me a little bit about trying to, you know, really going heavy on getting that additional revenue. So talk to us a little bit about like what that looks like in your business.
Yeah. So, you know, I spent 17 years at RE/MAX, great company, did its job for me. But when I was looking for something else, you know, when we went to the online brokerage, right. And people said it might not work or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, when I left the traditional brokerage, I literally looked down and I said, damn, man, like our model for work as a realtor sucks, because I had nothing. I had my book of business and that's it. And I had a buddy at the time that he was a cop, got into law enforcement right around the same time I got my real estate license. He had 3 years left. And he was going to get a pension somewhere around $5,000 a month. And I sat there and looked and I said, man, I got all these awards, all this stuff. And
they don't pay the bills.
I don't have anything left for this.
Yeah.
So when we saw the additional revenue streams of these models, which the stock plan and then helping the company grow, when you can see it's going to grow and it's a good company, you know, I saw the opportunity. And I tell people, if you focus on it and it takes away your car payment and then your car and your car insurance payment, you know, in our model, I tell people, hey, bring three people that sell a lot of real estate and you're probably going to sell real estate for free every year.
Yeah.
So why not do that?
You know? Absolutely. And then, without the overhead cost of the traditional brokerage model, you know, you can have a lower cap, which our cap at Real is only $12,000 right now and today.
Yep.
It's amazing. But the revenue, and I'm getting into it a little bit too with the whole revenue model, because I came from, like you said, the rental property space and the investor space, and I wanted to generate that residual income for my family, so that, like you said, you put a little something for your retirement. But when you're building it the way that, you know, you're building it, you're able to generate a very, very nice income for your family through leading and coaching and training and helping those agents succeed and grow their business. Not only are you benefiting from it, they're also super benefiting from it too, because they're making more money and they're having the connections nationally and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it's great.
It's just a better opportunity for the agent. I have a lot of agents with me at the company now. And, you know, I asked a girl who was at our company 14 months and I said, show me your stock account. And it was over $30,000.
Nice.
And I said, look, I said, that's why I told you to join us and to buy that. And then 2 months later, our stock went up you know, 30-40%, and it's over 50 grand, you know, and just for an agent to have that, the average agent just selling, I don't even know how many deals it was, but it was probably a six-figure income, low six figures, to have that saved, right, is just amazing. And yeah. That's not somebody doing a bunch of attraction and having a bunch of awards. It's not an elite agent that, you know, when you become an elite agent here, you can double the stock award, which is amazing.
Right.
You know, or pay, you get double your cap back, which is insane. But, you know, that's the opportunity in this world.
Yeah, which is totally crazy. But yeah, no, I mean, exactly. Because what I hear too is a lot of people like about it is they're like, man, I'm just going to go to work. And like you said, just keep on doing the stock thing and seeing that grow, and you're just doing deals and you're taking care of your family, and then at the end of the day you're great. But talk to us a little bit about the whole like revenue share side of kind of your thought process too, because you've been able to have some great success because you have a big network of agents that you're helping.
So you know, I tell everybody I choose to focus on helping the company grow. I believe in its vision, I believe in the model, and you know, the new model is, the traditional model was a brokerage would have somebody in the office, cold calling agents, setting appointments for the broker, right?
Right.
When we got those calls, we didn't want to hear from them.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the best person to recruit to a brokerage is a happy agent.
Right.
So if you're out there producing, doing good business, people are going to ask you about your company or choose to bring it up. And it'll, like I said, it'll take away your bills, you know, bill by bill. All of a sudden, if you had, I tell the, you know, all my agents, like if you had $500 a month, how would that help you?
Right.
You know, how about if it went to 1,000, would you focus on working on it?
Right.
And of course, yeah. I just had another woman in my office called me, super happy. Her revenue share check was over $2,000. And she said, man, I can't believe it. She's only brought two or three agents, but it was the summertime. So everybody sold some houses. And, you know, she's like, this is paying my mortgage this month. I said, I told you so, you know, just keep bragging about it. It's a great company. And the way this model is built, they want you to be a good sponsor. So being a good sponsor means you're going to alleviate some pain from the brokerage, meaning my agents today, how do I do these three rental checks? Who makes it out to who? And I'm answering that call instead of the broker or the brokerage, right? Because I'm the sponsor and I want to help that agent produce. So, and people, top selling agents unlocking their playbooks for you because they get paid when you get paid is another whole, you know, another level of a way to do business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to when you were really like generating the 100 and whatever it was deals a year, over 100 deals a year. Let's talk about that. Like if an agent is listening, like what were you doing on those in that space to grow your business? And how did you kind of achieve that 100 deal mark per year? Cause that's a number everybody likes. You know, I hear the 100 deal a year number. And I think that that's great, but how did you achieve that success as an individual agent?
All right. So I'll say first, solo agents, a good agent should do 40 to 70 deals, right? That's because 3 to 4 a month is doable by pretty much anybody with today's technologies. So then you scale to grow a team. Then you add some people. And my opinion of when you're losing money is when you should look at doing a team, meaning if you're getting so many inbound leads that you can't get to them and you know they're going to call RE/MAX, Century 21, or somebody else and buy the house,
right?
And you're losing money on that deal, you might want to start with having, I tell everybody, try referral agent first. Then if you have enough leads, you bring them in on as a full-time buyer's agent, or if you need leverage, right? Like we talked about earlier. But in general, my belief as a team leader is the team member should earn at least 50% net on a paycheck. So on 10 grand, I want to see my agents net 5 grand. Some of the other books, you know, the Red Book and all that stuff, they kind of bring it down to like 30 and 40%, which I just don't believe is fair.
Right.
Not in my market price range. In higher end markets, you can do that, but not really in the average markets in America, 300 grand, those paychecks being cut down to 30%. It's just unaffordable. As a team leader, pay them good, have somewhere for them to grow to, but I believe the team leader should be providing support and leads, right? And the leads can come from anywhere right now. I'm hearing that they're going to pass a law for the U.S. that says any lead can only be sold once. So we're going to see starting next year what happens with that. If that's true, lead costs may go up, or there's going to be a lot less leads to buy.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. But overall, you know, I believe an agent should have 15 to 30 leads a month, a buyer's agent, you know, and then there'll be some listings in there. And then you have to structure your team paycheck to do that. And outbound wise, you need for sell by owner, you need an inside salesperson, you know, or you have to do it yourself.
Right.
So as a team leader, you would go as an individual, you're your inside salesperson, and then you could hire out if you get to that point. And then as a team leader, you would almost essentially have to have one or two callers funneling these leads to your agents, and then everybody gets a piece of the pie.
Gotcha. So one thing you've done too is you're big in Kinder Reese, and you've followed that coaching program big. But let's talk about maybe some of the lessons that you've learned as an agent from their coaching program.
Yeah, so I'll give props first to Floyd Wickman. So Floyd Wickman, if you haven't heard of him, I don't even know if his course is still around, but I think he's in his 80s now. He built Sweat Hogs. That was an 8 or 9 week calling course. Week by week, you would call different types of leads, right? First, it was everybody in your phone. Then it was a neighborhood. Then it was for sale by owner. Then it was expired. Then it was learning how to present a listing presentation. And then every week you got tracked, you were put on a team, everybody had to report every phone call, and your broker had to initial off that you were in the office at 9 a.m. making your calls.
Right.
So it was cool because it made it, you know, a game. And being a sports guy, you know, playing sports, still to this day, I compete. So you want to put a contest out there, I'm going to win it, or, you know, I'm going to be at the top. So that course really took, that's what set me off in my career. As soon as I took that course, my numbers never dipped below like 45 deals a year. So that course, then I bought his mastermind. I flew to Vegas alone in my early 20s. I'd never been on, or I was only on a plane once, but I forced myself to get into masterminds, right? And then with Kinder Reese, they built a coaching company. They were both selling, I think Jay at the time had sold over 500 homes at one point a year by, you know, just his team in a very small town. Then he showed his buddy Mike how to do it in Texas. Mike goes and sells 250 deals a year. So then we just took everything that they did. Right. And Jay did a good job of cataloging how he helped his buddy Mike do it, right? So now you can see the roadmap. And then they basically sold their roadmap in their coaching. Expireds, for sell by owners, callers, mailers, everything that worked in every different market.
Right. Yeah, dude, I love that. Yeah, because those guys are super well respected. I hear a lot of people kind of come from their systems. And yeah, man, if people are interested, they should probably go take a listen to some of that content.
Yeah, super smart guys. And like everybody, and even in this world that we're sitting in right now, we're at a conference. I see all, you know, a lot of friends that I've met through those, you know, being at those companies, you know, in those training programs. So,
yeah, for sure. And a lot of kind of the success that you've had was being around other agents, and you've really put yourself out there at conferences and really going to different events to be around top agents, being in masterminds, and all of those things have like really helped you get to where you are now.
Yeah. So I was Remax, right? And in just little old South Jersey, doing 50 deals, there wasn't that many people doing much more. So I would make it a point to go to Vegas every year, or they did Florida and Vegas and a couple other spots, but Remax's conference was where I was not big anymore. Then I go see guys doing 75, 85 deals, solo agents. And I'm like, wow, what do I do? How are you doing that? What systems are you using? Right? And that's where you just copy. You know, and everybody here, even at real, you know, at all conferences, most people are there to share information. They're not going to hide what they're doing.
Yeah, you know? Dude, and that's awesome. And I appreciate you doing that for us and sharing how you've been able to achieve the level of success that you've been able to achieve at Real and in your business just in other ways. So I appreciate you being like so willing to share that. And like you said, you come to these things and you ask somebody, man, what's working for y'all? How's it going in y'all's market? They're like, dude, this is what's happening. This is what's working for me. And it's just awesome, man, to just see the collaboration and the willingness of people to share.
And so, the technologies that are working, like all that stuff matters. When you're in a room with the biggest teams and they all tell you, or biggest individuals, and they say, well, I'm using this software, I'm using this for leads, I'm using this, and you keep hearing certain ones repeated,
right?
You go buy it.
Yeah.
So, but you're not going to get that in your small markets.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you got to just get out of your small area, because we're kind of in a small community as well where we are in South Louisiana. So it is nice to get out of your bubble and talk to guys who are killing it, or yep, girls that are killing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's huge. So let's just close. I would say let's close it with this. Let's close it with maybe some kind of encouraging message that you might have for agents right now, because there are some agents who are struggling in our market. Yeah. So either give some advice to a brand new agent or an agent that is struggling right now in the market. What would you tell them?
So I'd tell you to definitely follow a calendar and hold yourself accountable to the things that we call it green, money-making activities in your calendar. So we make our agents, when we do accountability meetings, I give them a 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. calendar, and they have to highlight pink for personal time, green for money-making activities, and yellow for like office work. And I say, every day, you go back to the day before and see what you actually did. And we can intend to have prospecting sessions 3 to 5 days a week or whatever, and working on weekends. But real estate is a contact sport. So the more contacts you make, the more likely you're going to make a sale. And every week, your calendar should be full of green. And especially if you got nothing going on, every day you should be prospecting. And you should see how much personal time you're wasting and treat it like a job.
Yeah.
So, and every week you should have to answer one question, which is, on Sunday night, how much money did I potentially add to my income for the next 90 days? And if you go week after week with saying zero, something's wrong. Either you're right, you're not outbound prospecting, you're not, or you're bad at it, right? So fix whatever's not working, and that'll help your business.
Yeah, dude, I love that. Yeah, man, dude, I appreciate you being so willing and ready to jump on a podcast and share your knowledge of what's working for you. And I know we stepped a little bit out of our South market for this podcast, but man, when I heard you come to Lafayette and your story, and you know, when you and Colton Lindsay came down and did that amazing session that we had in Lafayette, I said, man, knowing that we were at the same conference together, I said, I've got to get Matt's story down on the podcast. So appreciate you giving your time, giving a little time here and sharing your knowledge with our group in the South, man. And I hope that anybody who's hearing you, if they're in Jersey or if they're hell anywhere in the United States and are interested in what you've done and how you've generated what you've been able to generate, or if they're interested in revenue share or stocks or anything, that they reach out to you, man. I'll put your contact information in the podcast. So Matt, thank you again, brother.
Yeah, man, no problem. Hope to hear from y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Please do us a favor and give us a like, give us a good rating. We're just trying to share tons of value, man. Just bring some value to agents who are listening to this thing, man. So I hope that you guys have an amazing day.